Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Rawcast. My name is James Price, here to take you through the Odyssey that is supporting the Brisbane Raw Football Club. And we're back, and we've still got another two games to cover because it's just bang, bang, bang in this run of games. And we've got a bang, bang, bang team here. And I want to know, lads, what is your favourite type of cheese? Because it's definitely going to feature in this episode, is the old cheese. So, Mr. Davey Stewart, how are ya?
Good, mate. I'm bang, bang. Man, don't start the show with bang, 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 bang. Just don't. But I'm good, mate. How are you?
Good. I mean, I made no references to any ongoing special military operations or anything in relation to that. But yeah, no, fair enough. I don't know. The games just kept going. It's like you turn around and bang, there's another game. Anyway, in your face. But you didn't ask a question. Favorite type of cheese?
Cheddar. I'm pretty cheddar. Plain, simple. Just okay. Cheddar. Yeah.
Bit of cheddar.
Slice of cheddar.
And
look, if you sent me to Subway, I'm getting cheddar. Put it that way.
Yeah, fair enough. Mr. Yoshiba, great to have you back again, good sir. Cheers. And same question to you.
Cheers. Well, I'm just going to interject there. When you did your bang bang thing, I wasn't thinking of anything to do with war at the moment. The first thing I thought of was eat bang bang Bart. Oh God, that was a terrible image. Yeah.
To be honest, the first thing I thought about was the South Park song. I'm gonna finger bang bang you into the night.
Oh Jesus.
Also a good one.
But to answer your question about cheese, I like a bit of neutrality. I like my Swiss cheese. That's not like.
Hey, that's very holy of you. Mr. And, running up, actually, got four
Easter.
People. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, you don't want those holes. We've got a foursome tonight. Okay. It's Mr. Ben Clark. Hello, good sir.
Hello.
This show's already a fucking shambles.
And to answer your question in a more succinct manner, it's Parmesan, but more specifically the craft Parmesan, the really fucking like processed shit.
Oh, you just like that stuff that's basically dandruff put into a container?
Correct, yeah.
I mean, I appreciate you putting that out into the public about your terrible opinions, but, you know,
well,
from you.
Look, given that I'm lactose intolerant and I can't have really, you know, any cheese at all, like, if I'm going to have it, you know, I, you know, want it to taste overpowering, so, yeah.
He just wants something that he can wash off with Head and Shoulders.
That's right.
So. Wash it straight down the bit of Head and Shoulders. After
he's run out of dishwashing liquid. Just get a bit of Head and Shoulders out and just clean it up.
Fantastic. All right, let's talk a little bit about the A-League of football. And in the Ute League, we have two games to talk about here. So on Wednesday night, it was Brisbane Roar 0, Bagel. Wollongong Phoenix, 3. Scott Neville with the own goal in the 28th minute. Ben the Wayne Train in the 48th. And Ben Ord in... Old, sorry, not Ord. Where'd I get Ord from? In the 57th minute. And picking up a few slices of cheese. We're all Brisbane players in this one, actually. Luke Ivanovic in the 13th minute. Anton Mlynarić in the 45th plus one. It was a late in into the game because Tom Aldridge sort of pulled out in the warm-up, I believe. With a bit of tightness around that injury. For a precautionary measure. Jay O'Shea as well in the 72nd minute. Also, he powered through all these games, Jay O'Shea. I don't think he missed a single minute at any of them. Attendance was graciously said to be 1,600, which, yeah.
It counted 12 catering staff as well, mate.
Yeah, I think it did count all the catering staff and everyone scanning the tickets. And I think most of the people on the league's club is the youth players. No, that wasn't them. No, they've been relegated off that task.
And also just the population of the suburb.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yoshiba, you were there on a lovely balmy Wednesday evening and
at 6 p.m.
in downtown Redcliffe.
At 6 p.m.
Yeah, with our,
yeah.
6 p.m. with our 1,000 closest friends, with plenty of space around us. What did you think of this one?
Pure shites. Yeah. It just wasn't a fun day. I mean, look, I shouldn't be mentioning this early, but considering the fact that we were so bored, we started chanting about a paper aeroplane in the stadium being made out of the six advertising. That just shows how much of a boring game it was. Yeah, I have nothing really that super positive to say about the game. Sadly, Freck needs a fucking haircut. It was Wellington's first win in Queensland for more than 5 years.
Just a bit of trivia around that particular fact. Does anybody remember what happened at the last win? That
yes,
I think they've had one in between that one. I think there's been actually a legitimate.
Talking about though. I think it was torrential rains.
Yeah,
yeah. I think
Matt McKay had a few things to say to the referee at the time.
Yeah, and a certain podcaster may have gone on Channel 10.
And... That's right. It was the memory of that recently, wasn't it?
It was.
Or was that you throwing your scarf down?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds like that's the last time he shaved as well.
Pricey, the only thing I'm going to say on it is the game would have been different if it was played on a Tuesday. Just saying.
Fair play. We all know the record on Tuesday is much better than a Wednesday.
Nothing new good ever happened on a Wednesday.
Also, it's incredible that we have enough of a, sample size to make that call.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, yeah, but it's our most common nights played now, I think, isn't it? We don't play on weekends. We just play in weeknights, don't we?
What's a weekend?
Yeah, between Tuesdays and, Wednesday, Tuesdays. It's all nights of the week for this team. Actually, probably not Thursdays. I don't think we play much on Thursdays in the end.
Thursdays are the devil.
Yeah. Dave, there was probably one really key moment in the first half that caught your attention because you were watching at home and you got to pick this up. And, of course, we didn't get any of this at the stadium. We just stood around for a long time while VAR... stuff and but yeah, talk us. Let's talk through that VAR own goal that was the official
goal. So I was trying to wonder what the hell you're talking about, but then I realized I read the notes and then I've caught up.
Yeah, and I was clearly leading you straight into it. Yeah,
yeah, I know.
Like a good host.
What the fuck are you talking about? Oh, of course, yes. So the first goal, Scott Neville was an own goal there, and of course, at the ground, all you guys saw was goal, big long wait while they talk to VAR, and no one gets told anything at the ground. Of course, when you're watching it on TV, they do show you a few extra things, and you get to see a few things that's happening there. First thing was, there was actually half a shout for offside from that, because the corner that came in got a flick on at the near post. I think it was Ben Wayne, that was that headed it basically straight up. Now, it was half a shout that he was offside. With the angles of the cameras there, you can't properly tell. So, maybe not, who knows. But the big thing was, as the ball comes down, Scott Neville goes to head it away. He gets a massive shove from Ben Wayne in the process, and that creates an angle in which the ball just goes straight into the back of the net. Now, the shove was obvious. Clear as day. It was a clear foul on Scott Neville. The referee obviously went to VAR. He had awarded the goal based on what he saw, went to VAR, and they awarded it as no clear, obvious error. At halftime... Scott Neville was interviewed by Paramount Plus to say what was the situation there, what happened, and Scott Neville revealed that he asked the referee about Sean Evans about this, and Sean Evans says, no, I know it's a foul, but we're going to get the VAR to check. So instead of upholding the rules as he saw the game, as he's meant to, and letting VAR correct an error, an obvious mistake, he's decided just to let VAR do it and award the goal regardless, which is absolute shit. He should, it didn't matter in the grand context of the game. I admit, that's fine. But in terms of how to referee a game, Sean Evans has had a couple of absolute nightmares this year. This is a bullshit display of refereeing, because he hasn't made a decision based on what he's seen. He's made a decision based on the fact that VAR's there to bail him out if he's made a fuck up. If he'd made a fuck up, if there wasn't actually a foul, and VAR came back and says, hey, you've got that wrong, he was nowhere near him, fine. The fact is, he saw the foul, he awarded the goal, and then said it'll be called, basically said it will be called back on VAR, don't worry about it, and then it wasn't. All it did was put us behind. So we go into the first first half, 1-0 down instead of 0-0. Changes the team talk, changes the way the team may approach the second half. Ultimately, I don't think it would have mattered, because we was definitely the second best side in this game. But 1-0 down versus 0-0 into the first half, it could change the mindset.
Yeah, that was it, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, despite
fuck Sean Evans.
He's not a great referee, but says a lot about the A-League. Thank you for that summary, because, like we said, in the stadium, we just stood around wondering what the fuck was going on. Anyway, a lot of shite defending in this one, Ben, sort of for the goals we did concede. And, Jordan Holmes is definitely number one now, yeah?
I think it's pretty...
Freak did not redeem himself.
Yeah, I think it's pretty... clear cut now. Like if it wasn't before, this was kind of the, you know, two game stretch where we go, oh, okay, well that's the difference. And it certainly a turn up for the books. I didn't really see that one coming myself when we recruited. When we recruited Holmes, I was thinking, oh, okay, well, you know, we've got a number two that I've never really, you know, encountered much of before. But yeah,
I was the opposite. I thought this is a really shrewd pickup. And given that we didn't really kind of know much about Freck, but we've got a player that's just gone to the Olympics, even as a number three,
yeah.
I thought it was an excellent pickup. And I'm surprised that it's long to get to this point. But yeah, sorry, mate, I'll carry on.
I think it's one of those ones where you're just like, you know, you've got a guy that, you know, played, you know, where we could watch him and seemed reasonably good-ish. And obviously, you know, made enough of an impression, you know, on the club that they were like, okay, here's a number one shirt and, you know, here's the starting spot for most of the season. And, yeah, that's, you know, I'm glad that they've moved away from him because obviously Holmes has come in and taken his chance with both hands. But, like, yeah, certainly not something I personally anticipated.
Yeah, I think we saw it when we lost out with, you know, we dropped back to Freak and I guess it was a chance for Freak, but I think whatever confidence Freak had is gone and then no Tom Aldred in front of him and with just sort of, it was just all the same and they're just able to get in behind way too easy. Probably the last one was, I don't know who wants to answer this, but was Ollie Sale actually good or did we just make him look good? Like, the stats will say that I think he made 11 saves or something like that, but reality was, we had heaps of shots. It was 36 or something stupid like that. But I feel like we just kicked most of them straight at him, Dave.
Yeah, pretty much. We didn't really do much to threaten. There was one or two occasions where we were in a good spot, but not really that. We didn't do much with it. I think, yeah, the fact you have 30-something shots and your XG... Okay, XG is obviously just an indicator of, you know, how good a chance you had, but you have 36 shots. Even if those shots, you know, if you average it out to be, say, a 20% chance, which is still a bit of a, almost a hit and hope, you know, you get six, you should have an XG of six, 30 shots. We had an XG of three. Suggest that we were taking shots that maybe had a 10% chance of going in, which are small chances. And even if you had one chance that was really, really good, you know, 50% chance of going in, that remains that the rest of the chances are sweet fuck all chance of going in based on where you're shooting from or what sort of opportunity it was. So, yeah, I don't think Ollie Sale really had too much to worry about or did do too much. We didn't really make him look good. We just didn't test do anything to even make him do that.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, I think that he is good, like, you know, as a general principle. But, like, you know, I certainly think that his last save was very good.
He made a good one at the death, didn't he?
Yeah,
right at the end of the game.
Yeah, but like the, you know, overall it was just like, you know, the chances were all straight at him. Like, you know, we did not look like, well, you know, we haven't really looked for much of the season like much going forward. But like, you know, it's when the chances you do get, you know, go straight at the keeper, you know, you've got no chance. So yeah.
Yeah, it never felt like happening. I think I might have said to you during this game, Yashuba, that it just never looked like we're going to score.
Yeah. I was going to comment and say that save at the end, I was even thinking there, Henry Hoare, really, if he could have picked anywhere else, that would have been a last-minute goal as a consolation. But, yeah. Wellington had that one well and truly in the bag.
Yeah, and you know, they have not been great shakes going forward either this season, so it was like, I don't know if it was surprising to me because, you know, we've made a lot of average teams look good this season, but, you know, it's certainly, you know, it's pretty telling that, you know, if you can't put goals past these guys, then, you know, or you can't stop them from scoring, then, you know, you're not a very good team. And I mean, we knew that already.
They've just conceded 10 goals in two games since our game against them. So that tells you a lot about where they're
11 days. Is it 11? But you can see it another 5 mil. Apparently.
Mil. Of course, sorry. Yes, 11. My apologies. Yes. 6 mil, then 5 mil. Yeah, so considered 11 goals in the last two games.
Yeah.
After that one. So that's telling, man.
It's very telling.
That's really bad. So, I mean, that could be a whole range of things, but I know they've got COVID going through their team, and that happened after our game. So,
and injuries, COVID and injuries, but yes, that does make that loss worse. Like they were there for the taking. Admittedly, they beat the Glory the week before 2-1, but they're no shake. They lost 4-0 the week before that to the Newcastle Jets.
Everyone beats the Glory.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's beating the Glory at the moment, and so around our game, they've had a 4-0 loss, a 6-0 loss, and a 5-0 loss. Like, and yet they beat us 3-0. Shit house. Let's move on.
Who tipped this league? Stupid league.
Yeah, exactly. Who tipped trying to tip this league? 6 p.m. kick us on a weeknight. Thank you. And it was proven by the crowd that turned up. And pretty much, I think that was actually just an estimation because they weren't really even scanning cards on the way in or doing anything because it was, there just wasn't really anyone there to do it.
Was any vax certificates being checked on the way through?
No, not really.
No?
Not
okay,
really
just so
at
I just
all.
Check. Just so I check. I was getting tickets. I didn't think they'd check any of that sort of stuff.
But they barely even check tickets. I think if they were like, if you're stupid enough to turn up, we'll let you in for that one. So,
I'm dumb enough to show up. All right, come on in.
Come on in, that's it. So, everyone that turned up was treated to an absolute pants.
Positive thing about the 6 p.m. kickoffs on a weeknight, that shouldn't happen anymore this season, purely because we're out of daylight savings bullshit. Mm. We're not catering to Sydney time slots. So,
yeah. Well, I think that one, to be fair, is probably was at least trying to cater a bit for the Knicks fans. I can sort of cop that a little bit. That was the other point. This game was moved forward a week on short notice. That was the other stupid thing about it. So, if it happened this week, at least would have been a midweek game in school holidays now, which would have made some more sense to be a 6 p.m. kickoff. But anyway. What would I know about things, eh? Yeah, the scheduling is just awful. No wonder no one bloody turns up and watches. Let's move on to the other games because it was another double game week for us, and it was Brisbane Roar 2. Much happier scenes this time, although it took a long time for us to get there. Henry the Whoreman in the 83rd minute with a lovely bit of shuffle and shooting, and then Luka Vanovic with, if you want to say, the sealer in the 90 plus third, just to finish it off. Newcastle Jets 0. And this is where we get into the Cheese City, listeners, because it was an absolute just procession of yellow cards this game. So it was Jay O'Shea in the 8th minute for Brisbane. It was Henry Horne in the 21st minute for Brisbane. It was Dylan Murnane in the 25th minute for Newcastle. Savas Stiatravanis in the 41st minute for Newcastle. Remanak Bari picking one up in the 59th for Brisbane. Jesse Daly for tucking his shorts in too high in the 66th minute. No, it was probably for hacking someone down. And then we had Lewis. Did Lucas Miragas come on? He got when he went 67th. Did he get come on or like Morane or someone or Stiatravanis?
Let me check. But I think he might have done. Yes. Let me check.
If you could check that while still keep reading through, because there's still more to come.
Now he did. 35th minute, he came on.
Yeah, so he's come on because I was scared someone was going to get another yellow and get sent off. Brilliant.
Manane was 100% going to get sent off. He was fucking right. He was carded 10 minutes before that substitution in the 35th. He was walking a tightrope. He was.
And I think he'd already hacked it once or twice more. Yeah. Then Matt Yeoman picked one up in the 76th minute. Nice to see him back being, I don't know what he is. Then here we go. So Lucas Moragas in this 80th minute with the second yellow card. So he got himself sent off. Didn't really have much complaints either. It was a pretty hacky challenge to get sent off. So that position got basically almost two red cards if you sort of take it that someone was dragged just before they were literally booked again. Tom Aldridge then picked one up in the 89th minute for Brisbane. And of course, it was the red card for Lucas Moragas. So for the double yellow. So that was, 10 yellow cards in this game. Apparently 5,463 in attendance, which, maybe. Ape.
I like this game. Guessing attendance figures. maybe. Somewhere around there.
I feel like all of our Saturday, Sunday attendance is just always 5,000 and something. Like, these ones, I will say, though, this one was scanned. So the RSF actually did the scanning ticket to this one, and they were making sure they scanned properly. It wasn't the bloody the under-15 squad just like, whatever. As you walk in, maybe it dinged, maybe it didn't. Yeah, anyway. Dave, this game. Things took a while to go and happen in this one, apart from yellow cards.
Yeah, I mean, halfway through, I made a phone call to my aunt in Victoria to sort out some accommodation while I travelled down there, and I don't think I missed anything for that 15 minutes I was on the phone. So, Yeah, nothing really happened in the first half. Good to know, though. I've got some accommodation when I travel down to Melbourne later on this year.
That's good. That's really good, actually. Positive. Yeah, I'm happy for you. Yeah.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
Stuck these times. Going to take them into the weekend.
Yeah, just what do you guys do on to the weekend? We'll just this will be our first half wrap. Just what you guys did on the weekend. yeah, the first half was pretty boring. It to be honest, I think we mentioned it just then in terms of Manane. He closest thing we had to anything happening in that first half was him looking like he was going to get. He was playing so ordinary. He was probably going to get that second yellow, and Pappas being smart enough to recognise that and subbing him off on the 35th minute. Moragas didn't shower himself in glory either, but in the end, but I think the substitute at the very least gave him an extra 30 minutes with 11 players on the field instead of 10. So who knows? That could be the one thing in the first half that actually changed the game in the sense that it stopped it from being a blowout.
Yeah, that's it. Ben, how much Newcastle was just hacking the bone in this? Like, it's probably... I feel like there was their game plan was to sort of get up in our grill a bit, and yeah, there was a lot of yellow cards and sort of not great tackling going on.
Yeah, and I've, you know, seen a couple of their games this season. Like, they haven't really made a massive habit of that. Overall, like they,
it's fairly unique.
It did seem out of place a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, like it's like they specifically tailored that game plan to us, which definitely seems like somewhat of a mistake. Because why would you tailor any game plan to us? But like, it's like that. It's like it disrupted them more than us, because you know they were just you know. They weren't really doing anything in midfield at all. And then, you know, because they've got very competent attackers, you know, they've got one of the best strikers in the league. Like, you know, that they have attacking talent.
But I think they had some of those players out.
Yeah, Penny was a big miss.
And Mikkel Tadze, I think, was also out as well. He was in. There was someone else that was out, though. Someone that's... One of their midfielders that's normally in there.
Yeah, yeah. No.
They had a couple of key players out.
No, 100%. They like you know they had players out, but like they still had attacking talent. Like their top three are very talented players, but they were just so isolated. You know, you saw Jason Hoffman, you know, dropping back, you know, as he's wont to do sometimes anyway, but like a lot more than he normally would, and you know, just very, you know, just very disjointed. Like they didn't really ever look like scoring like at all. Like they really like, you know, it was kind of like, you know, us against Wellington for 91 minutes, you know, it was very much, you know, completely toothless, no creation, no anything from them for the whole 90 minutes. And yeah, just a bit surprising considering what I've seen of them this season.
Yeah, I was a little surprised.
Ben, you said that Hoffman... So Ben, you said Hoffman dropped back a lot more than he usually did. Google's got him as a centre back. That's how much he dropped back.
he was listed in the team sheet as the fucking
as a winger. Striker. Yeah.
I think they did have a strategy against us, right? Like they really tried to push us wide, and we sort of rotate our squad. So we brought in Cyrus Demme, I think, for his first start of the season up front, and we got a lot of ball out wide.
Well, not his first start of the season, but his first start in a long time this season, yeah.
Yeah, first start in a long time. It might be first start in the A-League this... Oh, no, did he start down in Italy, actually?
He started the first few games of the season.
Yeah,
that's true. We didn't have anyone else, did we? So first start in a while for Cyrus Demme, and we just got pushed wide completely, and we just sort of whipped the ball in, and, you know, he's not a great header of the ball. That's not what you have him in your team to do. He's actually... He probably likes to latch on to sort of through balls, and you know, he's got quite good pace and things like that. So he's no target man or heading machine, that's for sure. So I think Newcastle played us really well then, just pushed us wide. And then, you know, Yeoman and Elzy as two centre defenders, not Hoffman, they were pretty, just like almost West United, they were pretty easy at sort of just flicking it away constantly and really didn't shut us down. But then they just had nothing going forward, Newcastle. What did you think of this one, Yoshiba? I know you missed it for something much better than watching this game live, but yeah.
I did. I managed to go to a football game that I scored in, but we'll not digress into that too much.
Oh, fuck that. Let's just cut out that whole first game shit and just cut into your game where you scored.
I scored I scored the final goal to confirm a win at indoor. Yes, listeners, I went to indoor. Pricey did not. Ooh, big thing.
Well done, mate. Proud of you.
But it was revenge against the team that injured my right hand finger, which has stopped me from goalkeeping. So it was a bit of revenge back to them. I might have accidentally said fuck you to one of them on the pitch, but then apologised later on.
Jesus. Div 5 indoor, mate.
Yeah, you got to own those fuck yous, mate.
It was Div 5 indoor, but when I scored my goal, I didn't celebrate much, but it was like I was about to win the lotto. I did watch the game, without digressing too much, I did watch the game back today. Newcastle had a chance in the 7th minute, which they absolutely squandered, and from there Newcastle just seemed to be in love with the foul, and that was all she wrote. And once Newcastle
what about
had
the,
yeah
what about the do you want to talk about the double hand, the handball, the Hoffman O'Shea handball on the line chance?
I might have missed that one.
Alright, who wants to talk about that one? Dave?
Yeah, so the it was actually quite funny. It was, from first viewing, I thought, oh, what an excellent headed clearance from O'Shea off the line. That's brilliant. What a save. And then obviously they stopped everything for VAR. I'm thinking, oh, shit, has he handballed it? Well, the replay showed, yeah, he handballed it. I was like, oh, crap, we're going to lose it. We're going to give a penalty here. We're going to go down 1-0. It was all...
O'Shea would probably be sent off, I would think.
Yeah, he would have been sent off for it too, so he would have been in all sorts. And then the hand of Hoff come into play. That ball had come over. His control of the ball was just ridiculously like caught off his arm, and then he's before having his shot. So, two handballs and a clearance off the line, and Newcastle give away a free kick. It's the weirdest sequence of events in the space of a second and a half. I can imagine it would have happened. It's and you wouldn't even Luis Suarez would have thought that happened.
And you would have obviously seen it, but like the Newcastle players were just surrounding Chris Beath as well. Like they were absolutely livid. And he'd like walk from like one side of the box to the other, and they're just like, stay away, you know, VAR's looking at it, like stay away. And then he'd walk to the other side of the box and they'd follow him all over there. And then eventually, obviously, he trundled over to the screen and and then obviously it all blows up in their faces.
He's like, yes, there was a handball. Free kick.
Yeah, free kick to Which, of course, when he starts, tapping the hand, you're like, oh, fuck. He is going to call the handball, but no, it went the other way. So, beautiful scenes. Goals, Benny boy.
Yes.
Yeah, we finally got there in the end. And
we
Henry
did.
Hall, Henry Hall shuffled, and then slotted away pretty nicely, actually.
I got to say, like, as much as, like, Henry did fantastic work for the goal and, definitely, lots of, shuffling. The Newcastle players just not laying a fucking tackle or a block somewhere in there.
Yellow cards.
that's a good point. That's a good point. But, like, it was absolutely, baffling to watch. Like, he just kind of just did a little dance through the fucking penalty area. No one seemed willing to actually try and get the ball off him, and he made them pay for it, obviously. But it was as much as it was good to watch the skill from Henry, it was also just like, how did nobody actually put in a challenge? There was about six players that could have that didn't. And as much as it was good to see, it was also just bizarre to see from Newcastle. It was like they were all ball watching, and very, very odd. A lot of it, very similar to things that we've seen in goals that we've conceded this year.
Yeah, that's it. Your defense just sort of going to sleep, and yeah, the defender finding a meter of space and finally putting it away. I have a feeling Newcastle have had a habit of this season of late. If they've been up, they've given away leads and stuff like that. So it just sort of came back to bite them again. So I'm sure that'd be one thing they'd be disappointed with. And and Yoshiba, the last goal, Luke Ivanovich, did you get to watching this one? Did you get all the way through the replay to actually see the pretty nice finish for our second goal?
No, I did. So I was going to try and make a joke. That didn't work. No, I did. Very handy little curler from Ivanovic. It was very tasty. We'll see if he does that in a couple of games upcoming. We'll see if he actually does it. But no, very good. Good way to end the game with that one there. Yeah, that was good. But Henry Hoare definitely needs to be starting games. Definitely, if we can. Possible, because he's the goal machine right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Who you probably, what is maybe our best starting front three? You know, you could talk all through, but Henry Hall's got to have a good shout there. I think he's really, you know, he started with a bit part and he slowly worked his way into it and really showing that he's the man for the moment. I think so. Yeah, he keeps coming up with the goods.
Unless he's going to become the new, well, he can't be exactly the new, but become the new Enrique, be the super sub.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. I think he will get his chance. He's always got options.
I don't think that we have the options in front of him to keep him out of the squad that Enrique had in his time at the club. Like, I really don't. Like, you know, Enrique was behind, you know, your Borellos and your McLarens and your, you know, all of those guys, like, even at the end of his time.
Royces, Alzano, Barbarossas, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've had an embarrassment of riches until recently in those areas. So, yeah, I don't think that the path to first team is quite as oppressive as Enrique.
Hey, nice pun for Rocky Visconti. Yeah, that's it.
That was the man that Enrique was blocking into the first team.
That's it. Yeah, he was behind him. Yeah. All right. Anything anyone more wants to say about that game, or shall we move on?
Just quickly mention about Ivanovic. You know, who's our starting level? Starting sort of attacking. I think Ivanovic is definitely. I think Hoare is there. I think Lascano is probably there as well. But I think you need to. I think those three. Well, those three plus Miljusnic as a four, you can just have JSA just pulling the strings just in behind it all. Theoretically, that's a dangerous attacking quartet or five.
Except for Lescano, yeah.
Well, I'd even give you Lescano some credit, but I suppose it depends on kind of how you want to play it too. If you want that man up front that could be a target man with players running off him, he could do a job. At the same time, you could also theoretically put Ivanovic in that spot. Miljusnic to the one side, you know, Henry Hoare to the other, and just let him go. So yeah, there's promise there. It's a work in progress, but I still say, I think last week, Ivanovic, he gets to 10 goals, I think I said this year, and I think if he gets to like 8 goals or something like that, he's done well, and I think he's on 6 at the moment. So he's half a shout of, you know, taking out goal scorer, you know, top goal scorer of the year, and could really kind of build his career off his time here in Brisbane. I really do believe he can thrive here.
So at the moment, Lascano, Hoare and Miljusnic have all scored 5 goals in the league. Ivanovic has scored 3.
You might want to tell Ultimate A-League that. They've got him down at 6 for Ivanovic.
I've literally got Ultimate A-League open right now.
You and your ultimate. Okay, so I'm looking at the wrong thing. I'm looking at started games.
But I was just going to say, like, you know, generally as a sort of season thing, not necessarily, you know, as part of the preview for the next game, you know, do we think that Warren is going to basically do what he did with the lineup this weekend and kind of, you know, prioritise players that are going to be there for the future? Like, so, you know, start Demi, you know, start a, you know, brigade.
No, I think he'll go back to the tried and trusted. I reckon that was a rotation on the weekend. So I think the other guys have probably all started the previous 3 games pretty much. Yeah. So that was a rotate. He rotated to someone else because he needed to give them rest. So I think he'll be back with with a sort of similar starting lineup of, yeah, I think Lascano will be back up front, and
I agree with you that that's probably what he's going to do, but I think, you know, the season's done and dusted. Like, you know, give the young guys runs and, you know, game time and, you know, starts and see how they go. Like, you know, this season is a nothing burger, you know.
Excuse me. We've got to try and get into the first round of the FFA Cup proper. None of this prelim stuff. We're aiming for eighth, baby.
Hey, I look forward to the resumption of our annual FFA Cup show next year.
Earlier than normal. You know, I mean, it's stupid. It's not ridiculous that we're not going to make finals. No fucking.
We're not making finals. We're 8 points off finals. And even if we want
to, with only seven games to go, yeah,
we're not going to make finals. So, but like I said, theoretically, we could still make eighth, and that's I suppose our goal. With the form Wellington's in, we could catch Wellington.
Yeah, that's true. They are falling apart quickly, and we could easily overtake Newcastle and catch Wellington. Yeah, very fine. So we are currently, that probably leads us nicely, we are currently in 10th place on the ladder. So we've played 19, won 6, drawn 2, lost 11, 23 goals for 30 against 20 points on the board. Our next game, we do have a run of two away games down in Sydney. So first up, it's Western Sydney this Saturday for a 5:05 kickoff. Daylight savings has ended, so it's the same if you're talking Sydney time or Brisbane time. So yes, that's at obviously Combank Stadium, which is the Parramatta Stadium, of course. So, yeah, Western Sydney, no Craig Shake. So, obviously, the last time we played them, we still got their manager sacked. And it's now Mark Rudan. The big blue man is now a big red black man. So, they've also played 19. They've won 5, drawn 5, lost 9, 21 goals for, 28 against, 20 points on the board. Very similar record to us, I think you'd say. A couple more draws and a couple less losses, but goals and 4 against, pretty similar. 3-2 loss to Sydney last time out. Anyone got any thoughts on Western Sydney they'd like to partake in?
They were so unlucky to not get a draw. Sydney VAR conspiracy again. but yeah, like they're dog shit, but they look a little bit more lively under Rudan than they did under, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, that was a lot.
Under
a
the guy that we got sacked.
yeah, whatever his name was.
I should know. You said we've got two games in Sydney. We've actually got a game in Melbourne in between both of those as well.
Oh, we did too. That's what we put in the schedule recently. Yes, yes, you are.
Yeah,
right,
so
three away games in a row.
Effectively a week away for the team, where I'd imagine they'd probably just go on a week long trip, one down to Sydney, down to Victory, or down to Melbourne, then back up to MacArthur and come back.
If we can save $7 by flying back each time, and probably on the night of the game, actually it's a 5 p.m. kickoff, we'll fly back that night. We will.
This is true. No, Ramadak Barry's probably got his team. He's got a train as well too. So you know,
yeah, exactly.
Make sure he can get back for that. That's fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a lot of talent. Does Western Sydney?
I should point out that's not a dig at Akbari. That's just that's probably legitimately a thing that they're probably considering is other things they've got back home. So you wouldn't. Yeah. You know, I'm not asked to travel into the city for and stay there for a week, not come home when
that's
I go to work.
Yeah,
so that's
keeping a team away from home is quite expensive. So they've probably got to pay them more, and we ain't doing that. So yeah, we'll fly back that night probably that afternoon. Yeah, and yeah, we'll fly in and out.
You heard anyway, me out. Probably had to pay them more.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's sure. Yeah, I think you're right there, Ben. Western Sydney were unlucky in that game against Sydney FC on the weekend. And look, they've got a lot of talent. Mark Rudan still trying to shake them up a bit, you know, so they can get better. But, you know, where our away form this season, let's be honest, has been awful. So this is three games to see if we can improve on that one win away at Perth. Yay! Because that's, remember, that's how bad our away form is.
We can't even win at the Central Coast.
No, we didn't even win at the Gosford, the place where we always win. Anyway, that was the fourth or fifth time that we've beaten Newcastle in Queensland as well on the weekend. So, you know, that's something as well. So it's a season where things are changing.
We're breaking records left, right, and centre. It's great.
Yeah, breaking. That's it. Club championship ladder hasn't been updated for a little while, so I think this one's a little bit out of date.
No, this one's right. What's on the screen? What's on the paper is right.
On the screen,
mate,
right? You went up. Oh, wow. That's good effort, Dave. I appreciate that. So Perth are currently in fifth position on this one, 38 points. We're just ignoring the four above it because there's, I think you'd call that gap a canyon, wouldn't you, Dave? A canyon between fifth and fourth in the club championship.
Yeah, look, we're not making a club championship finals if it's a top four, put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. But we might avoid the FFA Cup, the Australia Cup playoff.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, Perth and 38 points and obviously not going fast anywhere because their men's team has pretty much stopped winning games. So we're up to sixth place in the club championship ladder, 37 points. We've jumped ahead of Newcastle and Wellington recently, which is good. And obviously a couple of wins against them helps that score. So Wellington 7th on 34, Newcastle on 8th on 32, and Western Sydney Wanderers rooted to the bottom of that one in 9th position, 27 points. Am I right in thinking that actually that West United might actually be ahead of us? Oh no, we'd be equal with Western United. We'd be 1 point behind Western United, and they don't even have a women's team. God, that's
it. Carry on, move along.
Carry on. Sorry, that was an awful thought to just randomly interject. Who lets me host this show? Seriously, you guys are idiots.
I know you should do some hosting though, because you're carrying on like a pork chop.
I know. Yeah, we keep it rolling. News. You guys had a massive big chat last week, and COVID restrictions are going to be removed. So by the time our next home game rolls around, the requirement to be vaccinated to enter the stadium will be not there. And as we sort of found out on the weekend, someone that very famously isn't vaccinated was very much inside the stadium on Wednesday night and very much not wearing a wig as well. So yes, the unvaxxed can attend again. Maybe will our attendances jump by 1,000, 2,000 people, Ben?
No.
So either. Dave, the charity bet, mate. How close were we?
Mate. All right, let me set the scene for the lovely people that are listening to this garbage. So we started off with Western United Central Coast, and as we do, we go through the tips that we put forward on the show. So we started with Ben and his draw. He was the only one, aside from Nate, to tip a draw for that one. And we got it. 2-2 draw. Bam. Great start. Next, we back Melbourne City. This was Dan's tip. Bam, 6-0 over Wellington. Shove that up, ya. PAB, we're coming for you. Melbourne victory. Gets the job done in Adelaide. Boom, 1-0. We're looking fantastic. It's four legs. All comes down to the must-have inclusion for every round, which is a Brisbane game. We have to have a Brisbane game if there's a Brisbane one in that particular round. So, of course, that's Brisbane versus Newcastle. The ultimate pessimist that we are, Ben, backed Newcastle in. So I'm going to put this entirely on Ben. This is all your fault, mate.
I stand by it.
So do I, mate.
For the record,
someone that also tipped Newcastle.
Yes. For the record, Dan had tipped Brisbane, and I tipped the draw. It was Newcastle that we went with, and you're right, Pricey, you did tip Newcastle, as did the listeners. Mm-hmm. So, oh, ye of little faith.
Oh, even the listeners did. Wow. They're normally pretty loyal to Brisbane listeners.
So we're sitting there going, this is our chance. We could be actually getting ourselves into the green for the season with this one result. All we have to do is fuck up against Newcastle. The stats, the history of the fixture says it's going to happen. We're in garbage form. Newcastle looking nice. It's got to happen, surely. Well, we all know what happened. We just spoke about it. And look, our best chance of actually getting in the green and giving money to charity fell badly short. Thanks to that final game. So, disappointing, but we go again. We go again, Pricey.
What was the amount of money, just out of interest?
About $44 we would have got back for that $1 bet. And that would have put us into the green for the rest of the season by about $10. So everything else was gravy after that.
Disappointing. Anyway, so close. It's the closest we've come, which is nice.
We go again.
We go again. Exactly. We will go again. Hey, Yoshiba, did you read your emails and know that there was a Brisbane Roars member function after the Newcastle game?
I did not read my emails and know that, no.
No, neither did I. Until they started announcing it after the game, and it's like, there is the members function will start at 6:15 up in the West. Wait, what? There's a members function? Yeah, anyway. Like,
imagine if we had lost that game and you're going to a members function after that. That would have been really, really quite upsetting.
It was just sort of up in that terrace, up in the main stand there. So all the sub players, they all belted off to go and get changed. So there was actually some players there. And they even didn't even go through the usual halfway tunnel. They went through the tunnel underneath the den so that they sort of skipped all the people were like mass waiting for them to sign stuff and grab them. Yeah, so there was a plan. There was a plan. Which then made the Who Are We, like with the players, like pretty lame because about eight of them there. but anyway, so yeah, anyway, those members function on the weekend. Nice to see something.
I actually really like that because that was very much, you know, a mainstay of game day at Suncorp. Mm. Like, you know, I remember, you know, you know, going to mingle with, you know, your Broich and your Barishas and your, you know, all of that up in the back room there at Suncorp, the function room, and those were always really good. And, you know, remember having Thomas Broich play us some tunes on multiple occasions, and yeah, just very, you know.
It's been replaced by, like, it's just like it's an absolute, like, mobbing now around, like, that halfway tunnel for, like, signatures.
Yeah.
I feel like that's, I guess that it's sort of replaced. I don't know, but yeah. It's a perfect stadium to make it happen with, like, Red Cliff. That open, that upper terrace behind, like, the main stand, you know, it's perfect to do it on.
I think it's a good spot, and, you know, it's like, this is the sort of thing that is actually, like, you know, it's very rare that the club's done anything right in recent years, but, you know, this sort of thing gives, you know, people a connection to the players and, you know, gets to see them with their guard down a little bit and, you know, not necessarily like, you know,
It builds a connection between the players and the fans, and all of a sudden, yeah, you know, that guy that we've just seen come on for those few times this year, he might have been average or had a shit game every now and again. You give him a sort about, you know, maybe do this or that or whatever, and then you go meet him at the top, and it's like, oh, you're pretty nice. And all of a sudden, that any sort of vitriol, even if you're having a shit season like we are, that dissipates because people are, they're more relatable now, right? They're people that you've met,
I remember literally saying to Brandon Barella one of those things, you know, he was kind of stuck on the bench at the time. And I was like, right, you, like, you know, because he was looking a bit like shitty at the time. And I just remember going, mate, you got all the fucking talent. You're going to get a move to Europe if you, you know, keep it up and, you know, you'll get your opportunity and you'll be all good. And yeah, he remembered that, and, you know, when he was in the first team scoring goals, he was like, yeah, I remember you telling me that. And that those are the little moments that you get with players where you get a bit more of their personality, you know, they become personalities that you, you know, become invested in and all of that sort of stuff, and I think that stuff's been missing for a while. So, you know, good on the club for bringing that back.
Yeah, absolutely. So just remember, listeners, if you didn't know, like us, like our little group on the weekend, read your emails from the club, because, yeah, they did offer it out. I think it was on the Sunday or the Monday, about 6 days before. So, yeah, they sent out a thing. You had to officially buy a ticket. You know, it's free, but, it was, you know, you just had to ticket it, which would have been a COVID thing. And it was limited to 150 people. So, and it's interesting you say, like, making that relatable thing. And it was actually an announcement today, which we don't have in the news. I'll just quickly sort of touch on where the Players Association and the APL have actually sort of investing in a piece of software which does machine learning technology to stop abusive social media comments sort of towards the players. So, you know, it's just interesting to sort of tie those two things together. I think when you see people as human, that's when we make these connections. It's so easy when you're online. And yeah, anyway, we've been over that point in the past. We don't need to come back on that, but
it's another tool to A, bring the fans on side, but also to eliminate that sort of stuff, is to invite people in and get them, you know, familiar with them and build that connection. So, you know, you're not often, it's not too many people are going to be sitting there giving fucking pelters to someone that they've, you know, had a 20-minute chat about this, that, or whatever. You know, they're pretty much, you know, they're going to be maybe annoyed or frustrated at times, but they're not going to, you know, shout out things from the sideline that will just tear players down and make it worse. So it's all a positive thing to build those connections. That's what helps build a club as well, too, let's face it. It's those little things.
That's it. And, you know, these days when we talk about the club has changed, we've had a lot of new players, so it's good to do that. So let's move on. Legacy Australia have partnered with Brisbane ahead of the Anzac game. So the Anzac Day game has switched around from Sydney FC to now being Melbourne Victory. So that one's still 2 p.m. kickoff on Anzac Day. So they've kept the fixture in, just the team we're playing has changed. Good to get sort of Legacy involved in that. And obviously we've been trying to make this Anzac Day thing sort of work. So, the club's certainly sticking with it and trying to make it a thing. So that's good. And
I liked it when we played Adelaide in those games, though. I think Adelaide having Remembrance Day at their ground and us having Anzac Day, I thought that was an excellent sort of way to connect those two clubs. And we got Victory, and we had Sydney, but we now got Victory there, so that's that'll be interesting, especially since we played them about a fortnight before that as well.
Okay, well that's it. We played them. We almost maybe should have previewed that this week actually, that Victory game. But anyway, we roll on. Legacy Australia, so look out for that. Corey Brown had been auctioning off his match worn jersey from when Brisbane played Liverpool in 2015. You remember that night well, do you, Ben? Where did you sit? Where did you go for that game, Ben?
Were you in the Liverpool end? I was the front row on halfway. And I remember that quite well. We did quite well in that game, as I recall. And
Liverpool put in a good showing, but they weren't up to Brisbane's level. That's fine.
Look, to be fair, it was good that you sat on halfway and you weren't in the den, because that's the only game in any Brisbane Roar history I've been told to sit the fuck down in the den by some Liverpool fan literally in front of me.
I remember that game. I was also in the den, and that's the one time we've had like stadium like security like stick up for us. Like no, they're here like every week. Like that's their home end. Like they can stand, and yeah, there weren't many of us standing. And
you guys were. I was one of the poor bastards in like row six, getting told to sit down. You guys in the more center were okay, but people should read the tickets where it says it's an active support section.
We had one bay for that game.
Look, Australian-based Liverpool fans that don't usually attend the A-League would not know what the fuck that is.
Exactly.
But let's dream about that, because you never know when our club could end up doing something like that again. Though at this
point, we might host a charity match with Liverpool again, where they get to come in and see some of their local fans and get to really expand their reach. It's really nice to give to a club like that who don't really have that sort of reach.
Are we going to talk about the rumours of a similar match this off-season? We're going to wait until it's announced.
Talk about rumours if you want.
I mean, technically the EVA Air Cup still on if you go and read the tickets. So, with West Ham and Crystal Palace still supposedly coming, but is that what you're?
I know things happening.
Just the West Ham game at least was going to be something standalone. At least against the Roar. So
Palace were announced obviously playing a single off game against Manchester United, as they're going to now play the Vuk down in they're still not good at creating tickets for these things. So it's a different world. I wouldn't be surprised at one of those, because of that history linked of 2 years ago, we were meant to have the EVA Cup with Palace and West Ham, but at least one of them turned up. West Ham, I imagine, is tricky because they could be like early qualifying for Europe, which could obviously sort of impact on their ability to come out. So actually, the way Palace are going at the moment, they might bloody push up into that sort of space or something as well. Anyway, bidding ends at 5 p.m. for that match-worn jersey, and its current bid was $610. So that's actually fetching a pretty penny for that one for the Corey Brown.
Three whole bids for that one, and... obviously up to $610, which, not a small amount of money. It's nice of it.
Oh, that is a nice amount of money. It's good. So, well done to Corey for doing it. Now, was that for, Flood Appeal, I think?
Yeah, it was part of the Flood Appeal. Yeah.
Yeah, Flood Appeal. Dave, do you want to cover off on this last one?
Yeah, I'll just mention it because I don't think there's anything to it anymore, given, the person in question played over the weekend. But we did get a tip off, and we won't worry about sources in this one, because again, I don't know how accurate it is. But we were given a tip off to say that Jack Hingate may not be playing anymore. He was two games at the time of the tip off, two games away from triggering something in his contract. For an extension, presumably, and he wasn't going to play until he signed a lesser contract. Now, the club haven't announced a new contract. He's played one game since, so theoretically he's one game away from this. If he has a new contract announced in the meantime, maybe there's something to this. If he plays any of the upcoming games and then, you know, it's announced that he's extended, maybe there's something to it. Who knows? But there's not. I don't know, I'd find it odd if they were holding out on trying to keep him from, you know, playing until he signs a new contract. I think they would have announced something by now. Could be wrong, but that was the tip off that we had. So we'll see what happens with that. Ultimately, I'd like to keep Jack Ingot because he's a long-term player of the club. He's a club stalwart. He's a good player for the A-League and will continue to be a good player for the A-League. But yeah, if it's the club trying to politics just to keep Ingot to sign a lower contract, they're not doing it very well because he's played over the weekend. So,
well, then again, as we're saying, maybe this was sort of the rotation game. So that's sort of, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it seems odd that you'd pull that rotation with seven games to go in the season where you're likely going to play him in one of those games. Unless, you know, you got seven games. If Brindle South plays all seven, then, yeah, okay, you've still got the upper hand. But if he has to get subbed off...
It's a baller as well. So. It's a baller in that right wing position as well, that right wing back, so...
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, but...
In fact, I almost think Zabala's been preferred to Brindle South.
Well, you look at the weekend, Zabala was on the bench. Brindle South was on the bench. He didn't get started. You could have played either of those other two players in Hingett's spot and you achieve that particular goal of trying to, you know, monitor how many games Hingett plays, in theory. That didn't happen. That's what I'm thinking is where that maybe that hasn't held up in terms of how factual it could be. But I suppose we'll see. The mail that we had was that, you know, maybe he's got a contract clause in there which triggers an extension. Should he play one more game? So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it will be interesting. Just to keep a little eye on that one, I think, listeners. That's just an interesting one. Don't take it as fact, but just keep your eye on it. Probably the other thing, obviously, Matilda score coming in these sort of couple of games as well. So a couple of friendlies against the Kiwis, so one up in Townsville as well. So get around
that. Did you not listen to this last week?
Yeah, I'm just reminding listeners. I'm reminding listeners, all right?
Okay.
You know, just reminding them. All right, Dave. Dave, hey, I haven't done a Dad's game for a while.
I haven't done one all year, mate.
I haven't done one all year.
Yeah, no, I've held off on that. I've held off. I'm doing a little something extra for the end of the year. But you know what? With this many people on the show, I thought this is a great opportunity to crank out the old theme tune. So I'll let you, the editor monkeys, pop it in now.
Dad, you. Game and a Dave new game. Yeah.
Alright, it's Dave's game. Right, so we have a new game for this week and it is, as I said, I think it was the Reigning Champions U Price. I think you took out the last title from the last episode of last year, so the reigning, defending, undisputed world heavyweight champion of the world.
I think anyone that is a regular listener of last season would know that I just managed to finally get one in the end. It was bittersweet. It was bittersweet to finally get
it. It's all about being there when it counts, mate, and you were there when it counted. You are still the champion, but that title is on the line against Ben and Nate. So, with that in mind, we have a new topic with 12 potential answers. I'll just make sure I've got my numbers right there. It is 12 potential answers, and the topic is, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the age limit for the youth side in the NPL is 23 years old, is that right?
Yeah, I believe so, yes. Okay. 23 or 21?
Doesn't matter, we're going to go with 23 for the purpose of this, because that's what I've done this on. So
eligible for the Olympics, let's go with that.
Let's go with that, yeah. So we're looking for players that are 23 years and under that have played a game in the A-League this year for Brisbane Roar. There are 12. Right, so that's a fairly large number. So you've got a few options to go with here. We're going to leave you to last, Pricey, because you're the champion. You have to go with the lowest number of options. We're going to start with...
What?
this is how it works now, mate. This is my rules, my game, my rules. We're going to start with Nate as the worst seed. So, Nate, give me a player under the age of 20 or 23 or under that has played a game for Brisbane this year?
Henry Hoare.
Henry Hoare is 22 years old, correct. Ben.
Zabala.
Zabala is 21, correct. I see.
Kytruin.
Kytruin is 20. Well done, mate. And we have to go back to Nate.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Come on, name.
We don't have Jesus Christ in the squad at all. He's Mexican, but he doesn't play for us.
It is not Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
It's not Jesus either. Cyrus Demme, there we go. Jesus.
Cyrus Demme is an excellent one. He is 19 years of age. Ben.
Akbari.
Akbari is 21, correct. Crossy.
Macklin Freak.
He is 23 years of age. Well done. Right on the cusp there. So we're halfway through this list now, guys. So, Nate, this is for you, buddy.
Kytruin.
Kytruin was already picked by Pricey, so if you pick another one that's already been picked, then you're out.
Josh Brindlesouth.
Josh Brindlesouth is 29 years of age, so bum bum.
Oh, yep. All right,
is out of this game. We are down to two, Ben and Pricey. That's why you were the first of the worst CG, Nate, because that was a terrible pick.
Josh Brindlesouth looks young. Jesus.
He just was late to the A-League, mate. Yeah.
He's 29 years old. Ben.
Luka Ivanovic.
He is 21, correct. You've picked 3 21-year-olds so far, Ben, so that's pretty well done there, mate.
Just 21-year-olds.
Legal and everywhere.
Jesus.
Pricey.
I was going to pick Alex Parsons.
Are you going to pick Alex Parsons, or were you going to pick Alex Parsons?
Yes, I'm picking Alex Parsons.
Okay, you're correct. He's 22. Ben.
Jed Lofthouse.
He is also 22.
Motherfucker. Milinaric.
He is 20, correct. I was surprised when I saw that. I had no idea he was 20. We have two more... am I right there? Two more players? Yes, two more players to go. Ben. These are the two players with the least number of appearances in this list. This is going to be a tricky one.
I remember... I've got one.
Eli Adams?
Eli Adams is correct. Pulled out of the fire with three. Now, Price, this is a tough one for you.
I remember him coming on because we chanted about him because he was like, no, he wore a stupidly high number, like 46 or something.
He did wear a stupidly high number, you're right.
Number. Yeah, and his family was there. Samuel Klein.
He is correct. Holy crap, you pulled out of the fire. All right, so we've got a draw. So I'm going to ask you, who are the players that have appeared on the bench but not actually played Brisbane this year? Might have played in the past, but not for this year. There are four players.
Oh, fuck me.
This is the tiebreaker. You guys want to come up and be level at the end of this? Fuck you. You got to get the tiebreaker out. Actually, they may not have appeared on a bench. Sorry, I'll take... actually, one of them definitely has appeared on a bench, so I'll take the one out. Three players have appeared on a bench.
Oh, jeez.
Actually, you know what? No, that's too hard. Fuck that. I'm going to get you guys to name. We're up to the age of 23. I want one of you to name 24-year-old. Must be 24, can't be older, can't be younger. Must be a 24-year-old, Ben. There's two of them.
All right.
I'm going to go down this list until you motherfuckers get to the end. And then you have to name Warren Moon's age. So, on guard. Come on. 24.
All right. Jordan Holmes.
Correct. There is one more 24-year-old Pricey.
Oh, fuck. So he's played this season?
Definitely played this year.
24-year-old. All I can think of... Hang on a second. If I say a certain name, do I need to do some editing?
That's up to you, mate. This is... Your guess.
Are you ready if I say another name?
I know what name you're going to say, but I haven't got anything fucking ready. Hang on.
I'm trying to think of someone else apart from him that might have actually would be that age. I think he's older. I reckon he's like 26. 24 and has played.
Well, if you don't think he's 24, pick someone else.
I'm
so glad we haven't said his name right now. I didn't have any sort of facts ready.
I'm just trying to think who's actually played in positions.
Everyone listening is like,
"Can we say Jesse Daly? Can we say Jesse Daly?
Is that your? Is it, under we 23? Haven't said it so far, but is that your bet or your?
Yeah, let's go with Jesse Daly.
That is correct. Okay, so there are two 26-year-olds in this team.
Oh, fuck off,
Ben.
All right. Let's think about this. I'm going to go with Nick Olsen.
Kuwait fans.
Kuwait holds the sixth largest oil reserve in the world, holding about 8% of the world's reserves. There we go. Kuwaiti facts. Get that fuck off our show. This is my game now, motherfuckers.
Kuwaiti facts.
The tipping right now.
We've got tipping to come. Hurry up and make your bet. Make your call.
26 years old. 26-year-old played this season. Who the fuck haven't we mentioned? Oh, Milinusic.
Milinusic is your answer. Fortunately, you're incorrect. He is 28 years of age. Rio Wada is 26. So, Ben.
Young.
Back to being champion, mate. Congratulations.
Hey!
We went to a tiebreaker. Two tiebreakers. We brought Nick Olsen into the fucking game. You've done it. You fucking done it. Well done, mate. That's Dave's game.
Thank you.
What a cracking contest it was, too. Just to give you a real answer as to why I took out the players that were under 23 that hadn't played, I realised that I'd been on the bench, and I had Isaac Powell as one of those players, and he obviously hasn't been on the bench. Brandon McMorrow, Alex Mills, Nick O'Connell was a backup goalkeeper. All three of them had been on the bench at some stage, but never played. But yeah, we got up to 26 years of age, Nick Olsen, Rio Wada. The next one would have been interesting because 27-year-olds, it's like Connor Chapman, who hasn't played at all, and Matty Steinman, who I feel like is meant to be like 30 and no good at football. But yeah.
Matty Steinman's only 27?
Wow. Yeah, I know, right? Corey Brown's older than him. And Nate, Josh Brindlesouth's also older than him, just so you know. unlucky on that one, mate.
You're definitely not the first person that's mistaken Brindlesouth for being quite young. Like, it's
that's a compliment to him.
Whatever sunscreen he wears, he should keep on doing it.
That's right. It's got moisturizer in it. That's Dave's game, though. Should we just head straight into tipping? Just kind of
please
straight into tipping. All right, so. We're a quick update on the scores. Yeshiba, you're on 65 points, still at the bottom, still working hard to try and catch the listeners. You listeners, you're on 77. There is a bit of a shortening of the gap there. I think, Nate, you caught up by one there over this round so far. Coming up to...
One for you.
Coming off to fifth, we've got Pricey on 86, myself on 87 in fourth, Ben and Ben both on 88 in second, equal second, and Rick still leading the line on 90. Rick failed to put a tip in for Central Coast versus Wellington, got given Wellington, and got smashed 5-0. So, top job there, Rick.
Ending a run of tips as well.
He ended a good run of tips. He would have 100% tipped Central Coast in that game too. But he didn't, so that's on him. We have the other polls for this week's games, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, are up on our Twitter at the moment. Feel free to go bet on, those. No, don't bet on those. It's not betting. This is tipping. Make sure you put your tips in for that. Just a tip. This week, though, we have a whole range more games, and we've got four of us here, so we're all going to have one tip for the charity multi-bet. And we're going to start with you, Ben, with Adelaide versus MacArthur. What say you?
Adelaide, please.
We then have Western United versus Wellington Phoenix. And I'm going to tip Western United for this one. Pricey. You're on Western Sydney versus Brisbane Roar. What do you think? What do you reckon?
Roar.
Roar?
Roar.
I thought you said Roar for a second there. I wasn't sure.
Oh, dear, no, sorry. Draw. Okay, draw
good,
with
good.
The D.
Okay. Nate, I'm going to come back to you in a second. I want to make sure we get your Sunday game in there. Oh, no, fuck that. I'll just get you in the next one. You got a Melbourne derby, my friend. Melbourne Victory versus Melbourne City. What say you?
Draw.
I mean,
that would be quite interesting too, because that would be the fourth Melbourne derby draw in a row, if that actually happens.
Well, I mean, you got form there, and you got Melbourne Victory coming off a run of draws as well. So yeah, it's not the worst call in the world. It's going to make our multi look fucking fantastic with two draws in it though. Central Coast versus Sydney. Ben, what do you reckon?
Central Coast, please.
Yeah, fuck Sydney. Newcastle versus Perth. Well, I'm obviously going to tip Newcastle, even though Newcastle just got beat by us. Still Perth. Pricey. We're going to go into midweek here. Victory versus Brisbane in Melbourne.
yeah, Melbourne Victory, please.
Oh, what a shame. I thought you'd tip Brisbane. Nate, Sydney versus Adelaide. Again, midweek as well.
Adelaide United. This will probably end up being me that breaks the charity bet.
Oh mate, that's not in the charity bet. The first four games are in charity bet. This is just your tip now, mate. You're fine. Western Sydney versus Central Coast. I'm actually quite happy with your tip for the charity bet. To be fair, it's not a bad one. Western Sydney versus Central Coast. Ben, what do you reckon?
Central Coast, please.
And Perth versus Wellington in the first proper distance derby of the year. And my heart always says the home team wins distance derbies. Fuck,
this is going to be such a terrible game of football.
The form of these two teams is absolutely dire. Oh my God, it's so Danny Dyer. I'm going to say Perth because, again, home form for this fixture always is better. And yeah, I think by the time they play Western United on the weekend, they probably would have shipped 15 goals in three games. So I'm going to go with Perth.
I think they actually left the trophy in Wellington as well, the actual distance derby trophy, so they don't actually have it over
Sorry,
here.
Sorry, guys,
them.
Quarantine can't help it. So just to recap, that's about 10 games that we've just tipped, guys, so that's a big one. But Adelaide over MacArthur, Western United over Wellington, a draw for Western Sydney and Brisbane, a draw for Melbourne Victory, Melbourne City. That's our charity bet, those four games. Central Coast versus Central Coast over Sydney, Newcastle over Perth, Victory over Brisbane, Adelaide over Sydney in Sydney, Western Sydney to, also Central Coast to beat Western Sydney, and Perth to beat Wellington. Don't forget, like I said, get onto our Twitter polls. They'll be up. Usually the midweek games I'll put on during midweek. Weekend ones during the weekend, just because it's too fucking much to do 10 at once. Fuck that shit for a joke. And yeah, make sure you cast your votes in the poll. Get yourself up closer to who's next. Pricey. Price is your next target, man. He's only 9 ahead of you. So, you know, you've discarded Nate. He's 12 behind you now. You don't have to worry about him. He's tipping garbage like Adelaide to beat Sydney in Sydney. So, you know, go off that Pricey guy. You know, I'm just looking at his tips now. They're rubbish. So you got this. You got this, listeners. Anyway,
yeah, off to the host. I'm pretty rubbish at tipping. I'm not that hard to catch. I'm pretty rubbish, actually. That's it. And, of course, you can find those tells, Dave, at the Roarcast on Twitter.
Yeah, that's exactly
where
they
get
are.
Involved. And, yeah. We're also on facebook.com/TheRoarcast. As well, if you want to follow us on those two social media platforms, Twitter freshly with 9.2% owned by Elon Musk, which will be interesting. See how that goes. Anchor.fm/TheRoarcast is where we upload these podcasts, but of course it's shoved out to all the podcasting platforms.
I can't wait till we get a Tesla button on our Twitter.
Yeah, great. Tesla edit button.
Tesla edit button.
Yeah.
Tesla emoji.
That's literally the first thing. Yeah. Yeah, these are pushed out. We don't hide our podcast behind a paywall or anything like that. It's on a special platform.
No one would buy it.
I know, exactly. We'd get like three listeners. So yeah, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or any other good podcast platform. Should be able to find us there and, yeah, get around the Roarcast. get subscribed. You get every episode fresh in your inbox as soon as we remember to edit it and get it up. That will do us for this week. That was an interesting, fun show. Thank you very much for a big Dave's game, Dave.
Hey, you're welcome, mate. Sorry for your loss.
Mr. Yoshiba. Yeah, well, I enjoyed that title for as long as I could.
The longest, thanks for longest not doing it for like... You've held it the longest more than anyone else, mate, so well done.
Exactly.
I took one for you by letting you be in it, by taking sunscreen, so...
Yeah, thanks, mate. Thanks, mate. Yeah. I did know he was not under 20.
I heard what you were saying there, Pricey. Thanks for having me, and thanks for the game. Thanks for the bloody Inception games, Dave. God, really appreciate
that's
that.
That's not my fault.
I was trying to avoid it as well. I'm like, oh crap, surely there's someone else. And the man that did say the name that triggered the trigger, Mr. Ben Clark, thank you and well done to you.
They call him Bang Bang Ben.
Shove that bloody cheese up your lactose intolerant ass. Anyway, there we go, that nicely ties the top end of the show and the bottom end of the show together. Let's wrap it up there and finish this before we say anything.
I mean, people can just swing around and listen to it again and it all feels like one show. It's great.
Exactly. This is a show that... that'll do for us this week, listeners. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love you.
Bang, bang.